Okay, welcome everyone to the final, about 56, 57 minutes of the show here. As I promised, I did get a hold of Judd very, very quickly. Sometimes it can. But I know we're going to get into some corruption. I've been reading plenty of corruption with Whitney Webb's book. I'm kind of with Judd on this one. I'd like to know where she's getting her information at. But welcome back there, Judd.
I promised you a major broadside when I come on the show today.
Uh-huh.
And you get your seatbelt on?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Is your seat in the upright position?
Yes. Yes, it is.
We're in for some turbulence. Cancel the cabal, and Annie and you and everybody else that makes this possible. We're beating the beans out of the opposition. Cancel the cabal, and our worldwide partners are doing a fabulous job. You said I couldn't say a couple things, so is it okay to say turds?
Yeah, baloney. Bullcrap. Bullcrap's fine.
The turds that are messing up this world, man, they really ran into it when they messed with us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, we're winning on quite a few different fronts here in the last few months. A lot of people think it's not a victory because it kind of happens a little bit slower than right now. But we are having a major effect across the planet. And today I want to just give a shout out to everybody that has decided that murdering children doesn't cut it.
Right.
I want to give a shout out to people that realize that bombing cities into dust, that's not how we roll.
Right. Well, it is.
Really,
it is.
Now we're kicking some serious fanny here.
It is. If you're the military industrial complex, though, Judd. That's
well,
right up there early.
You use the ratio 10,000 to 1.
Yes.
I think we outnumber them far more than 10,000 to 1.
Yeah, it's 100,000.
So as long as we keep this going, and we, you know, the we people, we stand up to them, and they understand that we aren't putting up with it anymore.
Well, it's the people is what you're referring to, right?
Yes. The people that realize that they love their children, they love their grandmas and grandpas, and they love their brothers and sisters and
yep.
moms and dads, and, you know, the real we people.
Yep.
Us. And they, them, I had to laugh, you know, because people like, and I hate picking on Joe Biden all the time, but it's so easy to do.
I don't mind picking on him.
Even that befuddled, though. God, I don't know what, I think he sold his soul a long time ago, and he just can't figure it out anymore.
Of course he did.
And I feel horrible for his daughter.
Yeah.
And, I don't think that she likes coming out and saying the sorts of things she does about him.
Probably not.
But I thank God she's got the intestinal fortitude.
You know what? There's been conjecture out there that his boy, Hunter, actually did that on purpose, left his laptop at the
repair shop.
Yeah, at the repair shop. I know it's...
Well, it's sickening is what it is. The things that he obviously engaged in is extreme sin. And I don't care how you slice it. any adult that's, you know, got even an ounce of decency understands that, you know, having a, what do you call that there when you're just can't control yourself and you engage constantly with hoes? You can say hoes.
Sure.
Well, it's like this Stormy Daniels thing. You know, I'll tell you what's really disgusting about Donald Trump being on trial in New York this week.
Yeah.
He did the nasty, and then he tried to, you know, cover it up.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he apparently paid her a hundred and something thousand reserve notes. You know, those printed up keystroked fiat. I don't know how. Did he pay her with, like, a MasterCard or Visa?
Don't really have a clue.
Was she such a professional she had a credit card machine?
I don't have a clue, tell you the truth.
Where Donald Trump really gets offensive, man, where this just is so sickening, he had the audacity to manipulate his business records to cover up the payment by putting it in, you know, accounts payable.
Uh-huh.
Anybody that knows anything about tax returns understands that's an operations expense, and it's tax deductible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he tried to, you know, get the taxpayers to pick up his hush money to his masseuse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's what they all do. It's what they all do, actually, so, I mean, nothing new.
Well, it brings me to my favorite little place in the world. Across from Tranquility Park there in Houston, Texas, there's this great big brothel. It's the United States District Courthouse at 515 Rusk.
Uh-huh.
Well, the most unscrupulous bankruptcy attorneys in the country that file these giant bankruptcies for billions on some of the more interesting cases, like Dean Foods and the Dairy Farmers of America, one of the largest bankruptcies ever to be filed in the United States. Well, of course, they travel from Wisconsin and New York to Houston to file their bankruptcies.
Uh-huh.
Which kind of makes you scratch your head why anybody at all would want to go down to Houston, Texas and stay for even 10 seconds in all that nasty polluted air.
Yep.
Because all the refineries to the southeast of the city down in La Porte and Pasadena and along the Houston Ship Channel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God, the air down there some days is like, what the? Oh, my God. Nasty. Just nasty. It's the dirtiest air in the country, actually. But as it turns out, down there at 515 Rusk, and I'm going to protect the cabal. I don't want anybody getting sued for, you know, slander, or I don't want anybody getting assassinated for actually naming this federal judge.
Uh-huh.
But as it turns out, the reason that all these crooked lawyers and companies go to Houston for bankruptcy is the judge down there has got his lover. She's an attorney that represents all these big corporations in bankruptcies. And, well, there's an old saying about bankruptcy for profit, where these attorneys just milk corporations for millions and millions, even billions, in legal fees to cheat their creditors and go bankrupt.
Uh-huh.
You know, Donald Trump's been bankrupt 6 or 7 times, I guess. but this bankruptcy judge who immediately resigned and now seems to have disappeared with her didn't bother to tell all these creditors that were being swindled and cheated in these bankruptcy proceedings that he was getting serviced by the female lawyer And in fact, he was actually living with her. And you can say BJ's. she was given BJ's for bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're a senior bankruptcy, he's the senior, was, take that back, he was the senior bankruptcy judge there in Texas. It really makes you wonder, you know, just how bad the service at that brothel really is.
Uh-huh.
It's a brothel, Steve. No, I swear, Steve.
Sure it is.
I know. I'm trying to make everybody kind of chuckle a little bit. You know, it's a way of...
Yeah.
You know, getting people's attention so they don't turn the channel and go watch, like, you know, football or NASCAR.
Right.
I don't know why people watch NASCAR. They really must be fluoridated to watch NASCAR.
Well, they'd have to turn the computers off first, but yeah.
Holy, I mean, you talk about crooked, unbelievable level of shenanigans and skullduggery. You don't have the judge sleeping with the benefactor of billions of dollars in legal fees and avoidance creditors.
Well,
it just,
you do if you're criminals, you do.
Do you understand the level of depravity that I'm describing here?
Yes.
And it had been going on for years in Houston.
Yep.
Which brings me to another amazing bit of news. Now, there's this guy. Some people think he's crazier than a loon. They go so far as they call him the Poopmeister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he lived for 26 years up north of Houston in a extremely crooked little place called Conroe, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And... yeah, well, when they started developing Houston, the two scallywag crooks that developed Houston, they were the Allen brothers, and they started the development of the city of Houston on Buffalo Bayou, which was one of the drainage ditches for the massive floodplains that are to the north of the city. They marketed Houston, which was the capital of Texas until it was moved to Austin. But they marketed Houston to the world before photography. This is before the Brady brothers, you know, the Brady brothers,
yep.
Matthew Brady and, you know, the early days of photography.
Uh-huh.
So they use this beautiful piece of artwork, hand-drawn. It's a beautiful drawing. Just beyond description, professionally created, of this beautiful little village on the side of this mountain, overlooking the river, you know, which is Bray's Bayou, and it's got a beautiful stone arched bridge. And then in the background of Houston, and this real estate marketing brochure, are these really beautiful mountains. And, well, if anybody knows anything about real estate scheming and real estate scamming and financial fraud and, you know, luring consumers, man, it's called a bait and switch, by the way. There isn't a mountain anywhere near Houston, Texas.
Nope.
It's flatter than a pancake down there.
It's all prairie land, yep.
So I've named the mountains in that marketing brochure the Mountains of Crap. At Conroe, those are the Conroe Crap Mountains.
Uh-huh.
Piles of excrement. You know, I, for some reason, just can't get away from that poop. the mountains of poop in Conroe.
Uh-huh.
So there's this new real estate fraud that's got the attention of the IRS and the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. And the state attorney general's office, Ken Paxton, it's this giant real estate swindle con, which is literally right down the road from where I was raised in hell about all the other ones. There's thousands of these things all over the United States, by the way. They're everywhere. It's 33,000 acres. It's larger than Manhattan. Some are equating it as to being the size of Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
There's this 33,000-acre real estate development with these little quarter-acre and half-acre lots. And they were only selling them to people that couldn't speak English and were
right
illegal aliens.
Jumped over the fence.
Undocumented, you know, those undocumented guests uh-huh. that Joe Biden keeps talking about.
Yep.
So I did a little research here the last few days, and they're in federal. They filed federal actions against, and state attorney general's gone after the crooks behind this thing. And I did a little checking on the maps, and sure enough, it's part of the county where I started raising hell about this stuff 45 years ago.
Uh-huh.
If that puts it in perspective to the listeners. This real estate scheme and scam and all this money that's been stolen and all the corruption and the banksters and the gangsters and the bought off and paid off politicians and judges and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that Whitney Webb references in her book, you know, the One Nation Under Blackmail.
Uh-huh.
Well, all these same characters, including Oliver North and Richard Secord.
Yep.
And the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John McCone,
uh-huh.
With his Western Banks. That's who suckered me, was Western Bank. I didn't know who Western Bank was until many years later when I stumbled across the information that the director of the CIA owned the Western Banks.
Casey.
And I thought, now it makes sense.
Casey, right?
You talk about everybody from Bill Casey to, I don't know, Bud McFarlane, George H.,
yep.
Big H. Book there, you know, and W.
Big Pappy, yeah.
And the Clintons.
Yep. She's naming them all.
You know, all these people that Whitney Webb's talking about.
Yep. She's naming them all.
They're all directly involved in this massive, giant, subprime predatory.
Yes, they are.
You know, loot the SNLs, loot the banks, loot Ginnie Mae.
Yep.
Loot Fannie Mae, loot Freddie Mac, you know, the Federal Home Loan Bank, rob it, FHA, HUD, U.S. Department of Agriculture, rob all of them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it all boiled down to the crash. And there was a crash in... I guess that was 1987 through 1989. There was a big market yep. crash.
Yep.
And then there was another one in 90, I guess it was 96 or so, and then it ran a few more years with the bailout, you know, the
uh-huh.
the toxic asset recovery program, the TARP, you know, bailout.
Yep.
It ran till about 2005, 6, 7, and 8, and then it crashed. You know, in 2009, 2010, and that bailout cost the American people $29 trillion.
Uh huh.
$29 trillion.
Yep.
And all of this is traceable to these real estate schemes and scams, like the one that's going on right now, and the same federal courthouse, the same, you know, 515 Rust, there where you get, you know, really beneficial bankruptcy terms if you're doing 69 with the judge.
Yep.
You can say 69, right?
You just did.
You know what's the funniest thing I ever saw in my life? It hit me in the face the other morning. Houston, Texas sits right on Interstate 69.
69, yep.
That's the highway all these crooked bankruptcy attorneys and all these crooked banksters and stuff. That's the road they take to get to Houston to,
Well, that's also the conduit between, you know, Ontario, Canada, and the parts of Mexico that run all of the drugs and child
the
slaves.
Kids.
Yeah, and the kids.
And the women and the young men that are in bondage to sex slavery.
Yeah.
The truckloads of human beings.
Yeah, they call that.
They swap and trade. Yeah.
White slavery, I guess they call that.
Interstate 69, buddy.
Yep.
You know, I-69. And I'm thinking, Steve, as you know, when we opened this program, I gave a very big kudo to everybody that's involved in standing up and saying, we're not putting up with this anymore. We're just not doing it.
Yep.
And I look, and I know you've known me for a long time, right?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard me say, nice job, Iran? have you ever heard me give Iran a pat on the back?
No.
Boy, they spanked that nitwit Yahoo from Tel Aviv and Jerusalem this last few days. They spanked him pretty good. They told him, you know, you're going to stop, or you're going to get a whole lot more of this.
And the creepy and the sleepy creepy old man told them the same thing.
Well, they decided that they're not going to do a military invasion of southern Gaza and murder the rest of the Palestinians.
Yeah.
They, for some odd, crazy reason, decided that, no, we're not going to do, we've changed our mind about that.
How is Jared Kushner going to make his, you know, $100 billion over there?
Do you notice that weasel kind of slimy look to Kushner when he's standing there next to Donald Trump's daughter?
Yeah.
You ever he looks like a wet rat.
Well, you know, it's all about keeping it in the family. They're probably fifth cousins or something. I don't know.
And then Kushner and Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I got warned on X this last week. They sent me a notice that my account had been throttled, which means they kind of shadow ban you, you know?
Yeah.
And they told me that I was not allowed to use the social media platform to amplify my positions.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking to myself, I guess that's where I've been, you know, messing up all along is I blow the whistle too loudly.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. I was thinking to myself, man, Elon, what a fraud, man. They shut me off. Twitter had shut me off, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then completely shut me off. Yeah, they de-platformed me there for a few years. And then somehow or another, somebody came in under Elon Musk and accidentally, oops, reactivated my account. And,
uh-huh.
Well, you know what I did next, right?
Yeah, you went back to work.
You do it. Oh, you know, that's what this cancel the cabal is. You know, that's your moniker. That's your business plan is to step up in the face of these turds that are defiling humanity, and you're telling them that we're not putting up with this anymore, and we're cancel the cabal, and it'd really be a good idea if you listened. Cancel the cabal's got one big punch. Now, it doesn't happen like instantly, but as you know, the days and the months go past.
Well, you know,
we're batting about 1,000, Steve.
Yeah. Well, you know, me and the producer, we're pretty close.
Now, producer again. It's not Annie's the broadcast. She provides the forum. Is that what Shake and Wake's sort of about?
Yes.
Is that how this is working?
Yes.
And then who's the producer?
There's three of us, me, myself, and I.
Okay, well, I see you've got this other fella. He's on with you, Roger something.
Yeah, Roger.
You'll have to excuse me. I am.
Roger Landry.
I swear to you, Steve. I absolutely swear to you. I was tracking a lawsuit that I filed for a friend down in Austin against Exxon, XTO Energy.
Uh-huh.
And I've got some other bankruptcy cases in New York and a racketeering case up there. And then I got the same thing going on in Pennsylvania. And with some farmers. They're trying to steal their farm, and it's ma and pa cattle, for Christ's sakes.
These two farmers,
literally, if you were to see them, you like in a video or a photograph, you'd think to yourself, wow,
yep,
ma and pa cattle are still alive. And they work hard. They've got two jobs. They clean the church. They've done their best to, you know, make good on their payments with the USDA. But the USDA just, they got into the accounts of their farm, and they parasited the finances on the farm. And then they engaged in this overbilling to the point where these people just couldn't keep perfectly current in their bankruptcy. And when you can't keep up perfectly with your payments in a bankruptcy, they'll kick you out of bankruptcy and take your property. So the object of thieves, like at 515 Rusk in Houston, where they're doing the 69 for profits in bankruptcy court, and you look this up on the internet, I'm not making this up. These slime balls that prey on our society, they have this narcotic that they're addicted to, and it's called money.
Yeah.
And so they slip into this thievery, which, if anybody's paying attention, I don't know how many bailouts of the financial system that's happened in the last century. But I know that that little shindig there at Jekyll Island, was all over the bankruptcy of the United States. And they handed it over to Warburg, and they handed it over to Vanderbilts and the Astors and the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And I guess there was about three dozen men that took the train ride to Jekyll Island while the Titanic was being sunk.
Yep.
That's a murder story there, Steve.
Yes, it is.
How the Titanic, they murdered a whole bunch of people to hand the financial reins of the United States over to private criminals.
Ritualistic killing. Ritualistic sacrifices.
One nation under blackmail, right?
Uh-huh.
This is Whitney Webb's story a century ago.
Yep.
So what Whitney Webb is, you know, sharing with the world, and I have to admit, she's got kind of a sparkling little personality, and she's got a dynamic smile, and she's got that intellectual look about her because she wears those glasses. And she's got some pretty good connections with Catherine Austin Fitz. And another lady that I used to take my oldest daughter to her daycare center there in Houston. Her name Linda Miner. She was an attorney with the Harris County Attorney's Office down there on Buffalo Bayou. Houston's an enormously corrupt city. It's, you know, kind of like Washington, D.C. of the West. Some of the most slimy law firms you can think of operate out of Houston, Texas. Well, you remember the story of Enron.
Yep.
And you remember the story of Stanford Financial.
Yep.
And let's see, you remember the story of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Courthouse. Yeah, all the people that were involved in massive and fraudulent banking activity around the estimated reserves of minerals, oils, and oil and gas in Texas and Oklahoma.
Well,
the energy sector loans that caused the massive collapse of the banks and S&Ls in the 80s.
Yep.
Their cases for fraud and racketeering were coming up for trials.
Yep.
Along with a few of the cases that Bill and Hillary Clinton were involved in.
Yes, and they were being investigated in Building 7, ironically.
Which, you know, I'm going to cancel the cabal is a perfect place for this to be explained. You see, when you build a skyscraper, Steve, or a high-rise building, let's say 10 stories, 20-40 stories, you know, kind of the low rise, high rise, and then you got the high rise, high rise. I built skyscrapers for 30 years on the ground every day, on the construction elevators, down in the basements, building out the elevators and building the fire shafts, the fire escapes, which are the core of the building. They don't have fire escapes on the outside of skyscrapers. They're the stairwells and elevators on the very inside, the core of these buildings.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's something a lot of people don't have privy to because, well, they're not engineers and architects of these high-rise developments. Those buildings have an expiration date. They're not built to last 500 years.
Nope.
They're really not built to last 100 years.
Well, they
got to come down. Then they got to be demolished, and right, they have to be replaced.
The steel would last that long.
When it comes to the trade towers and all the flat earthers and all the conspiracy theorists and all the wackadoodles that, you know, are talking about this and talking about that, what they don't realize is that those trade towers, Larry Silverstein, he damn sure knew. He had the inside skinny on that.
Yeah.
That's how they wound up selling. The World Trade Centers were actually the property of the city of New York until they privatized them.
Yes, they were.
Larry Silverstein got to conveniently invest and wound up owning them.
Uh-huh.
Those buildings had expiration dates from an engineering standpoint and had been built intentionally and purposely with demolishing them at a certain point and bringing them down into their own footprint.
Yep.
That's the reality of a high-rise skyscraper. They're built to eventually be demolished and replaced. They have expiration dates. Now, if you examine those buildings, the towers, we'll get to seven here in a minute. The outside of the towers were built out of these steel box columns. Everybody's talked about those steel box columns ad nauseum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the exterior of the trade towers were designed to act like a debris chute to contain the floors in the interior of the building at the time when they were destined to be demolished. In other words, the floors, the decks inside the tower, were built to pancake and follow the core structures like washers on a rod, or washers on threaded rod.
Uh-huh.
The floors, the concrete floor decks, were designed to pancake like cards and follow the core and be contained by the exterior of the buildings like a giant debris chute. And if you watch the videos of those buildings coming down, that's exactly what your eyes see. It's right in front of your face. The building kind of pancakes and splays out like a banana peel.
Uh-huh.
The exterior, debris.
Do you remember what Peter Jennings said that morning? He said,
no.
"Boy, that building come down almost like it was a controlled demolition."
Well, see, that's you cancel the cabal's got some really good assets. I worked for many years for a company called CDI, Controlled Demolition Incorporated.
Uh huh.
And I worked around people like Olshan out of Houston, Texas, a giant demolition company that does huge amounts of urban renewal. They go all over the world and take these buildings down. You've seen them a million times on television. It's kind of like a spectator thing. They'll gather a few thousand people to watch the big parking structures exploded.
Uh-huh.
You know, people watch these controlled demolitions.
Yep.
Well, you notice here since the World Trade Center's come down,
they don't do that no more?
Those video presentations, those entertainment events of buildings being brought down, you don't see them anymore.
Right, right.
Every once in a while you might see something about them, but it's not a spectator sport anymore, is it?
Nope. Well, because
The World Trade Centers,
you know, the 400 degree Fahrenheit fires can take buildings down, so that's scientific.
It's this reality. each one of the floor decks in the World Trade Centers was about an acre.
Yeah.
Of concrete.
Yep.
In the vicinity of 6 inches thick.
Yep.
Each one of those floor decks weighed approximately 880 tons.
Tons, yep.
So when you get one of those floor decks that's failed,
yep,
and hits the one below it, boom.
Yep.
And then those two floors weighing, you know, 1,600 tons, boom, hits the third floor, and then the
yep.
progression starts, right?
Yep.
And sounds just exactly the way that the fireman described it. Boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
And then it starts happening so fast that it essentially sounds like a giant, just a rock crusher thing, right?
Uh-huh.
That
Have you
was
seen-
done because those buildings were designed with an expiration date by the engineers and architects that built those towers.
Yep. Plus, they were also built.
Who's ever explained this? Who's ever explained this that you know of?
I don't recall, but I think people have said that before, though.
We have more punch on Cancel the Cabal than apparently a lot of people understand. We are fed up with they, and we have had enough of them. And we're on a massive scale, Steve.
Yeah.
Cancel the Cabal is beating the tar out of them. You might think that reading, you know, Whitney Webb's book on, you know, episodes of this news hour. Don't you go 3 hours some days?
No, just two.
Two.
You're the third hour.
There's a profound satisfaction in my guts at this very second that I know that what we contributed to on a global scale.
Yeah. Well, you're the third hour every single week that you come on.
Well, the thing that I'm going to say is that we have spared millions of people's lives. The Cabal. I told you I was going to broadside you before we came on.
Yeah.
We very well may have caused a complete change in the course of history and prevented World War III on Cancel the Cabal and our associates and colleagues across the world.
Uh-huh.
We ain't taking our medicine today. You know, everybody's seen that scene out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, right?
Yep.
The patients, they stage an insurrection against the crazy people that are imprisoning them, correct?
Uh-huh.
And you talk about being imprisoned. We got these crazy fools. You ever seen Jerome Powell admitting to how they flooded the system with money they printed and keystroked? He's being interviewed on CBS. I think it's CBS. It may have been NBC News. But he's asked, didn't you just print money and flood the system with money and get us out of the last couple of crashes? And Jerome Powell admits it. Yeah, that's what we did. We flooded the system with what we keystroke out of the thin air.
Uh-huh.
When's the last time you bought yourself a steak down at the supermarket?
Been a while.
Have you seen the prices of some of these steaks?
I've seen the price of everything.
$70, $80, $90 for a steak?
Yeah, well I mean, it's anywhere between 13 to 16 bucks a pound. Yeah.
Now,
some even more.
Why do they call them bucks?
Bucks.
Well, why are they known as bills?
Yeah.
Why do they call them notes?
Yep.
You see what we're doing here on the Cabal right now this second? We're telling people, y'all better start paying attention because y'all been reduced to slaves. Y'all been reduced to, what do they call them, little blue? Oh, Smurfs. Yeah,
Smurfs. Serfs.
Yeah, you've been reduced to Smurfhood or Smurfdom.
Yeah.
Here's a perfect example. Perfect example. I lived 26 years just north of the Houston Intercontinental Airport on the north shores of the San Jacinto River between Lake Conroe and Lake Houston. And Steve, God is my witness, and anybody who knows me, they realize it's the truth. I've been raising ever loving freaking stinking, you know what, about these financial swindles and schemes. Been doing it for 45 years, Steve.
Uh-huh.
And what I've learned about a lot of the bureaucrats and a lot of these sleaze bags that work in government, they're like professional deniers.
That's what they do.
They give you this look like you're off your medication and you're crazy, and that's not what's going on here. You really need to be locked up in a psychiatric ward like Julian Assange.
Bradley
Manning. I don't particularly care for Bradley Manning, but he did kind of expose to the world
Chelsea Manning,
how the Department of Defense engages in wholesale murder.
Chelsea Manning? Yeah.
In Chelsea, excuse me. That's almost like a Bruce Jenner story, isn't it? I wouldn't go outside the house if I was Bruce Jenner. I'd be too embarrassed.
Caitlin. Caitlin. Come on.
I'm sorry, Caitlin, excuse me. Yeah. I can't give you a big enough, you know, Academy Award, a Pulitzer Prize, you know, and a gold medal and a blue ribbon and a gold star. And remember the A plus that the teacher would put on our math test when we aced it?
Uh-huh.
They'd say, good job, on papers you got back in class.
Yeah, I never got any of those.
Cancel the cabal. You are kicking some serious butt.
I never got any of those good jobs.
I got one time. I was going through my change of life when I was going from a boy to a man.
Uh-huh.
And I was having these extreme hormonal problems when I was like in the seventh grade. And I had this English teacher, and I couldn't concentrate in class at all. Sometimes she'd, you know, walk across the room. It was like, you've seen that old rock and roll.
Hot for teacher.
Video, hot for teacher.
Hot for teacher, yep.
So I'll tell you how stupid I was, Steve. I decided one day I would send her a note just to, you know, let her know what was going on with me. And swear to God, she collected our work from some test or something. And so I stuck the note in with the papers they collected for the teacher. Right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I'm just waiting for the reaction when she gets this note, you know.
Uh-huh.
When she got my note and started reading it, I swear to God, you turn around and look at her. She turned beet red. made a beeline from her desk to my left ear and grabbed me out of my seat.
Then you went to the principal's office.
Down to the principal's office.
Yep.
Oh, I was way out of line. I mean, way out of line in what I said to her. You know, I just let it all out.
Uh-huh.
You know, I wanted her to know how it was. And so she was mad. Oh, gosh, was she mad? She recognized my handwriting. It's a true story. I'm not making this up.
Yep.
I swear. And so when she stormed off and left me in the hands of the cruel principal, you know the first thing he said to me?
What's that?
She does the same thing to me. And he told me I better show up to detention for a couple of days just to make it look good.
Uh-huh.
So he gave me a week of detention for being, God.
Naughty. I mean. Being naughty, yeah.
No, I was way past naughty. Oh, cancel the cabal. It's a riot. But, yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of children across the world from Ukraine to Syria to, you know, Palestine, Baltimore. You see what's going down in Baltimore? A big criminal investigation on a ship that hit that bridge.
Uh-huh.
They're,
hopefully.
Rumors. I haven't really seen anything except the video. And again, I spent a whole lifetime in heavy construction.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any idea the mass of one of those big cargo ships?
Yes.
And as you watch, you know, the lights flicker, and then all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of carbonized, unspent diesel fuel that comes out of that ship's stacks.
Yep.
Particularly the left rear stack.
Yep.
If you look at it close, you'll notice it's the left or the starboard stack on the ship that emits this huge plume of black diesel.
Uh-huh.
Now, our, what do they call that there? Bunker oil. It's the cheapest fuel. It's not what they put in a semi-truck. It's a
right.
much lower grade than that. But
right.
in any event, you'll notice that when a diesel truck, you know, puts the pedal to the metal, a whole bunch of black carbonized smoke will come out of its stack because it's accelerating the engine.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the same thing that happened on that cargo ship.
Yes, it was.
Somebody hit the throttle.
Yep.
And I'm going to suspect it was in reverse. And it caused that
yeah.
ship to make such a tight turn.
They tried it, yeah. They tried to reverse
to
it.
To its port side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know anybody that's a captain of one of them great big ships, ask them how easy it is to turn a ship like that on a dime.
Yeah. The captains don't... The captains
that
don't...
That thing was steered into that casing.
Yeah.
Into the bridge support. Yeah, that was done, like, if you notice, it was done just about perfectly, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's almost like they meant to do it, huh?
Yeah, almost.
Wow, what are the chances of that?
Yep.
So, yeah, this last few days, apparently there was a bunch of Chinese involved in messing with the ship and some kind of a...
Chinese?
Hack the ship's navigational computer system.
No.
Hack.
The Chinese didn't... Oh, yeah. The Chinese didn't take the entire crew. The Chinese didn't take them to Walmart that day.
What'd they get? What'd they buy at Walmart?
I have no clue, but everybody was off that ship for hours.
What'd they buy them? Did they buy them sneakers?
No.
Or did they get them? They get them new underwear because they knew they need some new underwear.
Yeah, the pilot reportedly said, "Oops."
Yeah, oops, and toilet paper. They probably bought a bunch of toilet paper.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, who are fortunate enough to be tuned in here, we're on the very cutting edge of changing this world and cancel the cabal. I know I'm sounding like a broken record now, but what a good job, everybody. Holy smokes. The little children that don't get crushed tonight in their beds, you know, and get their arms blown off and half their face blown off and
uh-huh.
bodies riddled with, you know, shrapnel. Really appreciate it. I watch those images of those kids in Ukraine, and I watch the images of the kids in Detroit and Baltimore and Washington, D.C., and I watch the images of children all over the world that are just stuck in some of the most horrible conditions and didn't do a damn thing to deserve it.
Yep.
You know, like the civilian populations South and North Vietnam during the days when you and I grew up during that mess. And you watch you ever watch that film Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
And the cinematography that, you know, that was the war.
Yep.
I think I can't remember the name of the film, but I think it was Tora Tora. Don't hold me to it. But they remade it here in the modern age and they colorized it. There's a scene of a destroyer, a Japanese destroyer, coming under attack by aircraft. The Allied, you know, the American Navy aircraft were attacking this Japanese destroyer.
Uh-huh.
And all these Japanese sailors are running around on the deck of this ship, manning their guns, their anti-aircraft guns. And they're wildly shooting into the sky. And then the directors of this film, they change the scene to the incoming aircraft that are being shot at.
Uh-huh.
It hit me like a diesel truck, Steve. That's my dad in that plane.
Yep.
That's what my father did. He was a carrier pilot in the Second World War, and he really did it. He smelled it, he heard it, he saw it, and he did it.
Yep.
And he had to live with it.
Yep.
And after, when they came home, when he came home from the war, and, you know, my mom and him tried to get on with their lives.
Yep.
When we were kids, many times, you'd be woken up in the middle of the night, Dad would be screaming from Mom and Dad's bedroom.
Yep.
Screaming.
Yep.
Shrieking. You know, it was scary when I was a kid. I didn't understand what was going on. But it was Dad having a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't get the images. Couldn't get it out of his head. And, you know, we get to sip our lattes, you know, and the luxury of our homes while we eat our porterhouse steaks. And we get to listen to Whitney Webb.
Yeah.
You know, we just living in high cotton.
Yep.
And listen to the Cabal. And, I mean, nobody's dropping 2,000-pound bombs through the roof of our apartment buildings. Yet.
Yet. Yes.
But if the military-industrial complex, you know, kind of has their way and they can provoke a third world war.
Yeah. Do you know?
It's just a matter of time, right?
Uh-huh. You ever heard of General Smedley Butler?
Yes.
He was he was tasked in 1932 to head a communist coup of America. And he went in front of Congress and, you know, he told them that he told the whole world that war was just a scam. In his book, he wrote $12 trillion was made just off World War One. Just World War One.
Yeah, you see the opulence of, like, the Vanderbilt Mansion and the Astors and Rockefellers live. They live in, like, Sultan's palaces.
But can you imagine the money that was made off of World War II and all of the preceding wars after that?
Exactly.
World War I made $12 trillion.
While children go to bed hungry.
Or
like grandma and grandpa can't get medical care.
Or dead.
I'm literally sitting in a church right at the moment, and I'm looking across this nice mowed lawn in the cemetery out there, and God only knows who's in those graves. But, you know, that's kind of my destiny. Eventually, I'm going to wind up, I guess I'll have a headstone maybe somewhere. And my life will, I don't know, you think I'm going to go in a cocoon and come back as a butterfly? Maybe, you never know.
Right.
But in the meanwhile, Steve, nobody's going to be free to murder on the scale that they've been murdering, including BB Nitwit Yahoo and Genocide Joe.
Uh-huh.
And this Marsha Blackburn, did you see her reaction to Tehran? You know, they spanked the Israeli Zionist military pretty good the other day. And the first thing Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee starts screaming is that the United States needs to massively retaliate against the Iranian people.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, she's not a warmonger, right?
No. She cares about the children over there in Palestine.
Yeah.
Really,
know.
She does. And
yeah,
the people of Iran, too.
She's over there in, I guess, Knoxville, somewhere in Knoxville or Johnson City or somewhere over there. And then, of course, we see Genocide Joe just hugging and kissing on Nitwit the Yahoo there in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem.
Right.
Just hugging him, hugging the freaking guy. I mean, I've told the Secret Service of the United States that if they don't like my attitude, get out of my country, pack your bags, and leave before somebody hurts you. this idea that we can have this kind of psychopath bumbling around the world in Air Force One and just treating children like squirrels crossing in front of my truck on a highway.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to do just so much to miss a squirrel, you know, including screaming at him. And of course, he can't, you know, the squirrel can't hear crap about what I'm trying to do.
You know what? I think the darn little thing's doing that on purpose. I think that little sucker doing it on purpose. That's what I think.
Well, it's upsetting for me, and I'll kind of tell you why. Many years ago, I was driving down this beautiful palatial road in New York, somewhere around north of Woodstock somewhere. I don't know where I was, in the Hudson Valley.
Anyway. Uh-huh. Yep.
And this great, big, beautiful red farm cat. For some crazy reason, as I'm approaching the farm, this farm cat sees a bird or sees something that it wants, and it runs straight into the path in the road in front of my truck. It just,
yep,
it darts right in front of my truck.
Yep.
And I hit this beautiful, you know, it was somebody's cat, you know, and there wasn't any avoiding this cat. I mean, I Myrtle was a cat. Yeah, this cat went everywhere. And I felt horrible about it.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
You know?
I have.
And then there was this other time I was up in the mountains of Utah, and the road was completely frozen over with, you know, 6 inches of snow and ice packed on the road.
Uh-huh.
And there was this harem of black-tailed deer, and they get big, not quite as big as elks, but they get pretty big up in the mountains there, the Wasatch Mountains of Utah.
Yep.
And, you know, I saw this herd of deer in the road. I saw them.
Hey, Judd.
And, you know, I'm going all of about, I don't know, maybe 12 miles an hour.
Judd,
I slowed way down to
Judd,
go around.
Judd, we have to go.
I'm a deer, right?
Judd, we have to go. The time's all up, buddy.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about the deer story on the next time.
Okay.
God bless you, Steve. God bless you, Amy. And cancel the cabal. Keep up the excellent work. Good night, Steve.
All right. Good night. Couldn't even get my story in. Oh, well. Maybe next time he comes on, I'll tell my story, too. So, thanks, guys. Hope to see everyone tomorrow. We're an hour earlier tomorrow. 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central.